Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
On today's episode, we sit down with Bailey Raspler, who is a clinical hypnotherapist and part of the Deep Space team. A Deep Space was founded by Lindsay Harris and is the first reprogramming studio and pioneering nervous system health and subconscious mastery in San Diego.
This conversation is so valuable to you as a listener because we really dive deep into what does it look like to go through subconscious reprogramming? What does it look like to really find your voice, and what are the different parts that are coming up within you that are keeping you from using your voice specifically or showing up more freely in the room that you're in, on stages, whatever you feel called.
Bailey has used subconscious reprogramming in her own life. And when you listen to this episode, you will hear truly how magnetic she is. And you can see that she has really put forth the work, especially how she described herself when she was young, which was extremely introverted, which you would never guess when you listen to this episode.
Yeah, it was really great to feel her energy for sure. The other thing that I think is so important to highlight before you dive in is that most of us are either showing up online using pure willpower, and we specifically broke down what are the costs of only using willpower as a way to show up, and what does it look like to really get your subconscious and all these different parts of you on board with the direction that you want to go in your life.
There's so much you can take away from this episode. We really hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you here. This is such a fascinating topic, the subconscious mind and hypnotherapy. And I'm so curious, just starting it off, what drew you to this work? What drew you to hypnotherapy and the subconscious mind?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things is how much people are fascinated by it. Like when you say hypnosis, they're just like, what? The one or two reactions are like, oh my God, like, back away.
Can
or,
you control me?
Yeah. That's really the question that is most often asked. And we could get into that. But no one can control you. That's the thing about it. It's all your imagination. But that's what drew me to it. Like the imagination piece and how powerful your mind is. Because of my own experiences with mental health and feeling like my mind was controlling me versus me being in control of my mind. And I've always been interested in psychology. And I didn't know how much hypnosis was based in psychology and neuroscience. And so it was kind of just that natural drawing when you follow like what interests you. And it just led me here naturally as I just followed the path.
I'm so curious, how has hypnosis or hypnotherapy and reprogramming your mind, like where did you start with it? Where did you start to work on yourself when it came to this?
So it's funny because I didn't even know I was doing it until I finally had the term for it, which was subconscious reprogramming. But I started going to therapy when I was 13, and my therapist, they gave me advice I will never forget, the best advice I've ever gotten, which is always imagine the best case scenario. And so I went for social anxiety. And every time I thought about going into a group of people, I would just have, you know, panic, major anxiety. And I just avoided those situations. And I was 13 at the time. My parents were big into, okay, how can we, you know, help you? Because they saw I was struggling and even in school. And for since I was 13, before social situations and conversations, I would envision myself talking with people, feeling confident, being able to use my voice and speak up in conversation. And I did that since I was 13. And then, I went to school for psychology. And because that piece led me to, okay, I love the brain, mental health. And I didn't learn what I thought I was going to learn. It was more, you know, diagnosing and all those things, which can be beneficial, of course. And I just knew that wasn't the path that drew me in. Like, I didn't feel that genuine pull. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated, I heard about neurolinguistic programming. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar?
Yes. Yeah. You could probably define it for the guests.
Please define okay. It. So define neurolinguistic programming, it's all about essentially the user's manual of the subconscious mind, which is what I wish I learned in school. It's basically teaching you, there's a lot to it, but it's making the world make sense through your senses. So everyone has their own lens of how they view the world, and it's understanding that from childhood, from all your conditioning, all your beliefs you formed up until this point. And it showed, okay, this is how people view the world. This is how we've all viewed our, you know, everything in life. And it's why some people become stuck and some people, you know, are able to keep growing and moving. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
I love that so much. And there's so much to unpack there. Yeah. But I think one thing that we really want to focus in on is the voice, mm-hmm. and learning how to become really confident in expressing mm-hmm. yourself with your voice, or just expressing yourself in general and stepping yeah. into your confidence. You know, here we're trying to really invite women, men into their fullest expression. Mm-hmm. And so I would love your take on like what's going on in the subconscious mind when we are not able to express ourselves, mm-hmm. when we are scared of what people are going to think of us, or we don't want to be judged for what we say, or it's yeah. keeping us back from holding our, speaking our truth. And yeah. there's so much to unravel there, but yeah. I would love to start there.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit on the major points of why people are afraid to use their voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the fear of judgment, fear of being heard, fear of being seen. And even though we might consciously want those things, our subconscious is always trying to protect us. It's always doing what's familiar. So subconscious mind, it's 95%, creates 95% of your reality. Mm-hmm. So if you have stories and memories stored in your subconscious because you don't even consciously know, you're going to be playing out those stories. So say, let's just give an example of maybe a five-year-old girl named Tina who was singing one day, loved singing, and then her mom or her parent told her, shh, you're bothering me. Like, I'm trying to focus.
Oh my God, that is my story.
Is it? So you're Tina.
I am Tina. I've told everyone this. I was like, I didn't sing or feel confident to sing. I told you this.
Are you a singer?
Story.
She just wants to sing and loves to sing.
No, I just want to sing. But yeah. I didn't feel like I was singing. And I remember specifically my mom was like, shh, or something. Not because she didn't say I was like a bad singer, mm-hmm. or it was like awful, or I was being annoying.
Yeah.
It was just more the fact that I think she was on the phone and mm-hmm. I was being loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I made that a story. I made that
100%.
Truth.
Yeah. And so talking to Tina here, but that's what it is. We, as children, they don't have filters.
Yeah.
We don't have the critical faculty formed yet, which is what separates the conscious from the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And so we make everything personal. So where your mom was coming from a place of, I'm trying to hear this phone call, as a child, it became a story of, I need to be quiet, I'm annoying, my voice is whatever, XYZ stories, fill in the blank. Mm. And then it becomes a program, because our subconscious, we're a computer. And so it's stored in your hard drive, which is your subconscious mind. And that is a story. Then in hypnosis, we reprogram with things called submodalities. There's all different techniques. It's so funny. I'm like, well, I'll give you a technique right here. I'm like, let's do it. But yeah, it's all stories you form from childhood, and then they just keep playing out and become hardwired.
Mm. So where does someone start to like want to dive into unraveling this or like
yeah.
wanting to find their voice or wanting to express themselves through singing
yeah.
or wanting to get on stage and speak? You know, yeah. a lot of our audience want to become more visible, but there's this like sense of like, I don't want to be too much, or whatever the fear is
yeah.
on the other side of that. So how does someone start to like unravel that story?
I would say first notice, okay, when you think about doing that, because it sounds like these people already know they want to do that, but they're aware of that fear that's there. Or maybe they don't know the fear, but they know something's holding them back. And so what we would do in essentially a hypnosis session is you get them to a really calm and safe space so they feel comfortable exploring those past maybe root causes or significant emotional events, they're called, mm-hmm. and they see what comes up. And the thing about the subconscious mind, it will never show you something you're not prepared for. So that's a lot of things some people think too, like, I'm scared of what it's going to show me. What if it takes me to a memory I don't want to see? Things like that. And I reiterate, first we ground you. One thing that's really important is resourcing and making sure you know you're safe. So we take them to their safe space. I like to ask, do you have a favorite place? Do you like the beach? Do you like the mountains? Do you have a favorite vacation? And so that already helps their nervous system feel really grounded. And then it's a movie screen. It's all these things again for like a session, but I love it so much. I'm like, let's do a session right now on you, Tina. But There's that. And also there's re-encoding of past memories because your subconscious doesn't know the difference between real and imagined. So you can start to feel confident in those situations. You can start to realize that's not then, this is now. I'm in the present moment. That memory doesn't have to actually hold power over me anymore. And you start to shift and change. Or there's maybe a part of you, you acknowledge there's part of me that's scared to sing, part of me that's scared to show up, use my voice, be heard, and part of me really wants to. And so there's fragmented parts of the psyche. And so what we can do, or something you can do, is parts work, where you start to integrate those parts. Sounds like, have you heard of that? Yes. I see you nodding.
I practice parts.
Right? Okay, so yeah, so... And it's just questions to ask yourself. So that's like deeper techniques, which you can start to use to unravel those stories, because I believe you can journal on things, you can talk things out, but what really makes the difference is doing the reprogramming in your subconscious. Yeah. And so that's why I went to that straight away versus, well, ask yourself these questions or journaling prompts, you know?
So something I'm so curious, because I practice and use parts work on, I used to use parts work on clients, but in your perspective, you're saying doing your subconscious mind, does that mean like literally going into like a very deep meditation mm-hmm. and like tapping into the subconscious mind?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same as someone actually taking the action and feeling safe to do the thing that the part wants or needs? So yeah. Like, what is the difference in that? Like diving in deeply and like dropping mm-hmm. into meditation versus like actually taking the step and making a change or giving the part what it wants or needs.
Yeah, it's both. It's both. It's both. Okay. Like, because that's a piece, even in manifestation, right? We can't just sit there and have things come to us without doing anything. There's that balance of doing and believing you can and actually feeling in this reality like, okay, I can do those things. So parts work to feel like, oh, I actually can do it. Where it's maybe that fear was overtaking them and they couldn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then once they have this integration, it's like, oh my God, I can do it. Like, let's go do it now. Like, people get so excited. And there's also a piece where it's like, it's so distant now that you couldn't even remember that feeling if you wanted to. There are certain things where it's like, it's just so far back now. It's stored in a different part of your subconscious. So now you can take the action. And then the more you take the action, the compounding effect, until it's simply who you are, is a person who uses your voice, shows up, and that's just who you are now.
Yeah. I love it. It makes me think of the example my dad actually used hypnosis to pass the bar exam for law, which is so wild because I'm like, who used hypnosis during mm-hmm. that time? My dad's like 76 now. But he told me that he put, like, basically went to hypnosis and then listened to tapes that took him through every step of passing the bar.
Yep.
And then he had a mantra that I'm over the bar, I've passed the bar, I've done with the bar, and did it again and again. And he passed the bar like when a very low percentage of people pass.
Yeah.
So I love that example so much. So you start with getting them to a safe space, mm-hmm. then they go into like hypnosis.
Yes.
They figure out the parts that are causing, like, that they need to be realigned.
So usually we'll give them their subconscious mind a cue to say, we can do it where they truly like feel the parts in their hands and it's like they can literally feel them, or they just imagine it. It depends on just the technique, but it would be show the disempowered part or the part of you that is afraid, and however your subconscious mind, you're nodding, you know,
it's good. This is great.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to ask you, like, your experience, but like, I know.
This is about you, girlfriend.
But I know, that's why I'm like, it's so challenging for me, because I'm always like, I want to know your experience, you know? But it would be, okay, now see how that, your subconscious mind wants to show you that part. And sometimes it will be like a prickly, like red monster. I had a part once show up as, I don't know if you ever watched SpongeBob, it was the pickle from the jellyfish. Kevin, I think his name was. Like,
that's awesome.
It just shows up in weird ways, how it manifests. And it gives this fear now a tangibleness. Mm-hmm. So it's something now, it's like, oh, I can control it. I see it. It's not me. It's just a part mm-hmm. of me. It's outside. It's separate from me. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the part of you now that wants to speak on stage, wants to use your voice, wants to be on a podcast in whatever way. And then you have them have a conversation. And usually the first time people do it, and especially if they've never done any work like this using the mind, they're mm-hmm. like, what was that? Like,
yeah.
But they find some sense of harmony within, some sense of merging. And that's why I love it too, because it's all your imagination, but it works.
One thing that I love so much about parts work that you're talking to is that it helps you not identify with one of the parts. I think so many people think that they're always struggling with, like, I'm identifying with the fear, or I am the fear, or I am the muted person, or I am the light, the silence person. But I think the biggest breakthrough that I had personally through parts work was, like, I am multidimensional. I can actually hold the truth that I am scared and I'm excited. Or I am scared or I feel unheard and I have this other part of me that reminds me that I'm safe. And so I think there's multiple parts going on within us, but you're talking to that. And I think that's also really important, like, kind of life-giving to someone, as like, if you are struggling to feel silent or feel muted, it's like, that is a part of you, but that's not all of you. And you're talking to, like, there's more to the depths of that, not just that one thing.
And usually it's also, and now call up any other parts that might be afraid, because there could be these unknown pieces of them that they didn't even know were there. And so that's the piece of unraveling the stories too, of why you feel like you have to hide or be silenced or just afraid to speak your truth. And they might not even consciously know these parts of them, which aren't them, which I love is what you said. Like, it's not you, it's separate from you. And all these pieces then come together to be, okay, this is that story, this is why. And once you know why, the source, you can move through it and start to use your voice.
And one thing I've learned through this process is, like, at the end of the day, every part wants to be seen, heard, and loved, and understood. And I think the more that we pay attention to the parts that are scared, they're just like, oh, you see me, I can take a bigger breath now. Or, like, to your, whatever you were describing as your part, specifically, it probably wanted to be there and just be seen and heard for what it wanted and what it needed in that moment. And they can take a breath. But I don't think we realize, using your word, subconscious, how much we're trying to so badly suppress these parts of us. And it's like trying to keep us safe versus all that they want is to come forward.
I would say too, you're just hearing you describe this, like, I've heard Karina talk about parts work too, but I didn't even realize that's what my therapist was doing for years. Like, she would have me shrink into a tiny little spaceship and go inside my body and find where it feels. But what it makes me realize too is that for me particularly, like, it wasn't that I was addressing a fear. It was actually that I wasn't even aware of the emotion that was behind. Like, I'm not as much my husband will always be like, well, what are you thinking about? But I don't feel like I'm thinking about things a lot. Like, sometimes it's just a feeling sitting in the body and I can't identify it. So just for anyone that's listening too, like, sometimes it isn't a part that's a suppressed or afraid. It's maybe you're not even aware it's there operating. That's something she really helped me kind of connect with, is like the disconnected part that was like, oh, there is a sad little girl in there. There is, like, disappointment. And I didn't even know that that's what it was until she shrunk me down and put me in there. And then a memory popped up from a little girl or something. So I think there's, like, different methods to your, what you're speaking to get to that place, or different parts you can address within this.
And there's the piece too, where a lot of times people's parts are their little selves. A lot of times it shows up as their inner child. And that's the piece too, where I love, because it's like, maybe you wouldn't have realized that if you were just talking about it. You actually had to be shrunk down into that spaceship. And it makes it fun. Like, it makes this work fun.
There were so many times I would be sharing something. She'd be like, okay, let's go find out what's behind this. Because she could hear that there was something more going on, but I wasn't aware. And that's the really cool part of putting people into these places, is you start to discover, like, parts of yourself you didn't even know were hidden in there.
It's all in there. Everything, which is why I love it. Everything's in there.
And I think it's cool. I'm not really, like, a past dweller. I don't really spend a lot of time on the past. So it was actually very helpful too, to identify, like, parts of myself that had been suppressed or been hidden or been shamed or any of that, because, like, I'm not someone who think, I'm more, like, future oriented, which is also not always good. But I think that it's, these techniques are so helpful for anyone that is more that way too. Like, it's kind of, I mean, it's beneficial for everybody, of course, but
You have to be open to it first and foremost. That's the piece, because even if, you know, someone didn't feel safe going into their subconscious mind, or felt like, oh, hypnosis isn't right for me, or I don't believe in it, then that's where I say, okay, I don't think I might be the best fit for you as a practitioner, because you have to be willing to go into your own mind to see what's there. And that's how you do unravel the stories. You have to look within to release it.
Yeah. God, that's so good, because I just feel like there's so much fear sometimes for people. Mm-hmm. They're like, 100%. I don't want to touch this. What are you talking about? I have to go and feel these parts of me that I don't want to feel.
Yeah. And that's why it perpetuates.
Yeah. And that's where it gets like the compound effects, and it's like, oh, well, this is going to become louder. One thing I used to tell clients, I was like, think of like your parts as like the little kids in like middle school or preschool. And there's like the kid that's like kicked to the corner, mm-hmm. like the kid that is all of a sudden becoming meaner because he's being made fun of and you're just like shoving it.
Yeah.
You can feel the energy of that kid becoming darker and heavier. Mm-hmm. And I feel like our parts are doing that. Like the more that we ignore them and put them in the corner,
yeah. They're getting angrier and angrier in there.
They're meaner and they're like, I want to speak. Like you're not listening to me. Like I'm frustrated. I'm angry. And like, then that becomes my quote unquote reality because that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And what's happening in the corner is like, well, we don't realize is like you see it on the children's school or whatever. What does that little part need, or that little kid need? It just wants someone to be like, hey, do you want to come play?
Yeah.
And like maybe they're like a little nervous and like they're like, oh, I don't know. But then all of a sudden, the more welcome that they feel, the lighter that they feel.
And then you feel lighter because that's a part of you.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that becomes your reality because that's what you see.
And then you see the world differently. Yeah. Like my favorite thing is I love sessions like this where it's just pure confidence, because that's something I really resonate with. So when people come up and out of hypnosis sessions, there's like a vibrancy to them, because it's called future pacing. And even how you said your father with the bar passed it, mental rehearsal, right? Like there's a study where someone, I forget the exact statistics, but they imagined just lifting weights with their arms and they actually grew muscle just from the mind.
Yeah.
And so there's these pieces where imagining that you're on stage or coaching someone, some people are even afraid to
hold space
because that's like one of the biggest things. We have a certification program, so much knowledge, so much information. They're like, I know all this, but I'm just like, I don't feel ready to like work with a client. Mm. And to me, that came so naturally to me because, not naturally, it wasn't like, you know, but it wasn't like it took me a year or things like that. Like
you had confidence.
Yes. Yourself. And this is because of reprogramming since I was 13. I've been doing it for 10 years. So so that's why it's like, okay, that's what we need to do. Reprogram.
Yeah.
Like see yourself go through the steps of taking on a client, working with them, see the steps of going on stage, see the steps of writing a book and speaking about it, and really feel you can do it. And then they open their eyes and it is that feeling of, I can do it. Like, I can't believe I even thought I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Like their mind just switches to, how could I even believe I couldn't do that?
Yeah.
It just flips a switch.
It reminds me of the book. I think it was by Malcolm Gladwell that talks about 10,000 hours.
Oh, I don't know that.
You become an expert. I think it was him. But there's a book that talks about like it takes 10,000 hours to become proficient, like an expert at something. But it really speaks to what you're saying is like you had 10 years of practice of reprogramming your mind.
Yeah.
And obviously you were an expert in it by the time you got to the place of wanting to help others. And I think that's not that it has to take that long, but there is something to be said of that repetition again and again, day 100%. After day. 100%. And I think people get discouraged when it doesn't shift right away. Mm-hmm. Or like, I think that's where I sometimes wonder if that's where the line is, where people decide not to pursue something because they've hit the fear or they've done it twice maybe and it's still scary and it doesn't feel better. And, you know, what would you say to someone like that, knowing all the work that you have?
Yeah. And it's a common thing I hear too, because people do expect one session or one technique of anything is going to fix, quote, quote, their issues. Mm-hmm. And I always say, however old that person is, it's been this many years of hardwiring that program of fear, the fear response. It's like a muscle. And so now it's going to take a new muscle to form. And it doesn't happen like that. It happens with the repetition, you said. The subconscious mind loves repetition, and it's not something that takes 1 second because of how many years you've hardwired that program. It does take the repetition. And I also say, if you go to the gym and you're working out, do you expect to, after the one session, have all the muscles you want and things? Like, that's not how it happens.
Right.
It's the same thing.
And it's also to like giving them grace. So something I used to tell clients, I'm like, you've been doing this for 23 years.
Yeah.
You've been living in this for 33 years. Mm-hmm. Like, give yourself grace. It's going to take some time to shift this.
Yeah.
Something that came through, I want to go to the other side of the spectrum a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes, so I want to talk to like using willpower and pushing through. And how does that, I'll just use the word impact, the subconscious mind. Let's say someone is like, well, I might feel this fear, but fuck it. I'm going to do the thing and I'm going to rush through it. And I'm just going to do it really hard.
Yeah.
What happens?
So everyone has their own way, right?
Yeah.
There's no right or wrong way. That person just might experience more conflict in the sense of feeling maybe burnt out at some point because they were pushing so hard, maybe it feeling really challenging, maybe at one point they just feel like they're at the end of their last leg or whatever that expression is, and they just want to give up because of that pushing and forcing. Mm-hmm. And so what is really powerful with these techniques for reprogramming, working with the subconscious mind, is that the subconscious mind loves the path of least resistance. Mm. And so if you're trying to fight your programming by pushing, like, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to be disciplined. And it does work for some people. Like, some people are able to really discipline themselves and things like that. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
And I think most people aren't.
I try
aren't.
To be one of those people.
Same, and then out. I fall off. Yeah. Exactly.
And then I wanted to run away, or I felt the guilt or shame on the back end because the days that I couldn't be disciplined enough, it would like cause more inner conflict than just being with the parts of me and being creating that safety.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's a piece where, since the subconscious loves the path of least resistance, it's about, if you've ever heard of the logical levels of change. Have you heard that?
No.
Okay.
Go new.
Okay. I'm like, so what it is there's levels of change, right?
At the top. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Continue.
At the top of the pyramid is identity. Then I forget what the next two are, but at the very bottom is environment. And above that, I believe, is behavior. And so what really changes everything is self-concept. It's identity. So even with using your voice and space holding and being a speaker, it's, I am this person. And it's not about just affirming it in the mirror and consciously doing it, because there is subconscious, conscious misalignment when that happens.
Mm. You double down on that real quick. Some people use affirmations as a way to say, like, I am this confident person, I am this thing. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking to, or like, what is the balance of like using affirmations but also talking to what you're talking about?
So the balance of affirmations, when people are just affirming to themselves and looking them in the eyes, they're using their conscious mind. Mm-hmm. And so if their subconscious, which controls 98, there's been different studies and numbers, I use 98. If it's controlling 98% of your reality, and that part of you, your subconscious mind, believes, I'm an insecure person, I am not someone who can XYZ, be on stage, will be listened to, there's always going to be some internal conflict, and there's always going to be resistance. That's that willpower piece where it comes in and they're just fighting each other, and that leads to the burnout. And then when you don't push enough, it's the shame and all the internal stories. And so the logical levels of change, when you change from the top level, your identity level, it will all trickle down. And so that's why New Year's resolutions don't work.
Yeah. Thank you. You need to come back for our end of the year episode.
Yeah, right, right. And that's why I love future pacing with anything someone's trying to work through, because it's stepping into the version of you who is that person now. You are that person now. You are confident. You are XYZ. And there's no resistance in a state of hypnotic trance.
So can you elaborate what future pacing, what that means?
Yes.
And so, specific practices.
Yeah. Okay. So future pacing is when you're essentially in your subconscious mind imagining maybe 2 years from now, maybe 1 year, maybe 6 months. It's whatever you want to jump to. And I like to call it a future memory. So you're basically telling yourself it's already happened, it's already been done. And maybe if you're someone who wants to do this without a practitioner on your own, you figure out and get clear on who that version of you is. What's their identity? What do they believe about themselves? What's their internal dialogue? How do people respond to them? What, you know, that clear picture. Mm-hmm. And then they can, I always love saying self-hypnosis, things like that. But that's like another whole thing. But what it could be is just visualizing that version of you in the future. Mm-hmm. And so it's mental rehearsal. It's with neuroplasticity, your brain changing and being malleable.
Meaning that you're rewiring the mm-hmm. nerves of the brain, like the synapses of the brain.
Yeah, the connections that are to do with confidence, are to do with using your voice, are to do with speaking up. And so then once you do that, and also another thing is too, when you see that, make sure to be looking through your own eyes mm-hmm. and not see yourself in it, because that's a dissociated point of view.
Don't visualize yourself doing the thing. Yeah. Visualize you as the person doing it.
Yeah. To help do that is feeling a part of that process. Cause like whenever I visualize, I also feel my body mm-hmm. doing it. So like, what does it feel like to be confident? What does it feel like to speak? What does it feel like for other people to respond to me?
Yeah.
It kind of brings me back into here versus like creating it's this being image, a far away image. Like I can see her and like, that's so cool. Yeah. She's on stage, but like, I am not in her.
Yeah. You're not her yet. Yeah. And I love that you brought that up because I just forget that because I drop into the feeling state so easily now because I've trained myself to.
Yeah.
And so I forget that some people don't access that feeling right away and it does feel far away. And so it is when you're in that, you kind of naturally start to feel the feelings of it. Maybe you need to remind yourself like, this version of me feels happy, confident. It's those things you kind of made clear beforehand of how this version of you feels. Mm-hmm. And when you're imagining as this person, maybe there's also a specific scene you desire. So let's say, I mean, I use the one with a client, we're manifesting a relationship for them. Mm-hmm. And the scene they envisioned was them at their wedding. And they were actually throwing the bouquet back and looking back and seeing all their family, friends, and loved ones. And they couldn't help but feel joy. So if you have trouble even visualizing or picking a moment, it might be something where it is, okay, describe the one moment I know this will have happened. What's that final moment that I'll truly know I've been reprogrammed, I've been fully rewired to this version of myself? And then be in this state, remind yourself of the feelings. Maybe you do some, you know, breath work, things like that. And you make the colors really bright. You make it bigger. You make it bolder. You hear sounds. You see what you see. You hear what you hear. You bring in all the senses. You smell what you smell. If there's anything you can eat, maybe your favorite food is there with you on the stage. You taste it. You start like salivating and it really enacts every sense of your being. And usually you're kind of like start to like tingle and get excited. And the feeling kind of comes sometimes naturally when your senses are that evoked.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's why I love doing it with someone as well, because it is easier, in my opinion, when you're guided versus kind of doing it with yourself.
Yeah,
because
I think people do struggle. At least I did in the beginning, like even visualizing.
100, yeah.
Like I've shared with Corinna, but I use a rainbow. Like I was taught an exercise to use a rainbow and to visualize every color of the rainbow and then brighten it and then send it far away and then bring it back. But it took a long time. I mean, it took me a while to really get into like what that felt like.
Me too.
And then I went to more scenarios, situations, feelings, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like visualizing a beach or whatever.
Yeah.
I would say even as someone who does some of this stuff myself, I love being held by someone.
Me too.
Yeah.
I need it.
I just love being like, okay, you guide me. I can just like rest into this. I don't have to think about how to coach myself through this. You know what I mean? Or like we were talking about like self-hypnosis. Mm-hmm. Like that takes extra brain power, which is so beautiful to be like, oh.
I agree. Yes. There's nothing Thank like you. Being held by someone. Like, can only go so far by ourselves. That's why even the term self-made for me, I'm like, is anyone really ever self-made? Yeah. Like, you're always being supported by someone. And that's the importance of connection, community.
What's one of the coolest stories you've experienced from a client? That's a
good one. Ooh, like, so would this be, clarify, like a transformation in them or even something that happened during a session?
We'll do both.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
We'll do like transformation first. Yeah.
Okay. Transformation. So it was actually, and he'd be okay with me saying this, it was my brother. Mm-hmm. And so why it was so amazing for me is because he obviously means a lot to me. All my clients do, but it's a different level of depth.
Yeah, it's your family.
And so it was something with anxiety and it was things that were connected to feeling anxiety and something he loved he couldn't do anymore because of panic attacks and anxiety. And so we did a session and then it was just gone.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just like he did the thing and he was like, what did you do essentially? Like, why do I not feel that anymore after trying so many different things? And it's just like, it feels like magic. It's not, it's science, but yeah. It feels like magic. And that really just was something that sticks to me because it was someone who mattered a lot to me. Another one I will say is this client who I was working on manifesting a relationship with. It was a lot about deconditioning beliefs of being desirable, feeling loved, all the things. And the next day after the session, someone said to them, not verbatim, can't remember fully, but along the lines of, you're glowing, like, are you in a relationship now? Like, wow. Because they knew something that she wanted, I believe, to be in a relationship, but they genuinely thought, like, she met someone. And that's just, like, jumping timelines. That's, like, quantum leaping to the version of you who has that thing without actually having a thing, which shows, okay, it's close. It's on its way. That was amazing. Because I was like, that's just crazy. They thought you already were in a relationship.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which the glow is going to attract a relationship. Yeah. You know?
But it's the glow of like she genuinely felt she was in the relationship. It changed her entire physical appearance.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's literally an internal makeover. I have more, but let's see. The most interesting thing in a session. So when I first started out, it obviously even let's speak to the voice and feeling confident and things like that. You can't prepare for everything, right? So you don't know what's going to happen. And so one client, so hypnosis is also what people I think don't know, clinical hypnosis at least versus stage hypnosis, where it's more therapeutic. It's very somatic. And because the subconscious mind, it's of the body as well. And so I had a client who like, during it, like just lurched up. I was like, what? What's going on? What's going on? And then they just went back down and they, you know, they're in a deeply meditative state.
Yeah.
That's what hypnosis is, that deep theta brainwave state. And so they just went back to lying down, but I was like, what just happened? And that's when they came back fully to awakening consciousness, they were like, I just had the biggest like emotional release. Like I couldn't control myself. Like it just happened. And that's when I was like, the subconscious is the coolest thing ever because this was their first hypnosis session as well. And it made them be like, this is what I've been missing. Like all these things I've talked about all these things, but I've never really actually like had a physical, like, cause it's stored in the body. Trauma gets stored in the body through constrictions, tension, muscle. And so that was just a full on like muscle release. And so that was so cool to me because it was like, wow, it's not just something that's in the mind. Like all these things are within your body so much so that when we had a reprogramming, a re-encoding, releasing an old stored memory, their entire body just like flailed. And that no reaction either. They didn't open their eyes. They weren't scared. They weren't like, oh my God. It was just like this happening to them, this big release. And then they just go back down in peace.
Wow.
Yeah.
So good.
It's so fascinating.
I love all of this. I'd love to learn a little bit more about you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, tell us a little bit about like your own journey of like what you've worked through a little bit.
So that piece of confidence, like I said, that was my biggest piece, I would say. Because it was so debilitating. It was a piece where growing up, it wasn't, again, this overnight thing. It was, okay, visualize the best case scenario. I even had to do it with my extended family. Like, I didn't even feel comfortable in my own skin with my extended family. And so there was these pieces where I would envision conversation with my aunts and uncles, like things like that. And I would also wear the same sweatshirt over and over again, the same gray Aeropostale sweatshirt, if you remember that brand.
Yes.
To the point it was so ratty, but it was like hiding, right? It was this piece of,
You were hiding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like this piece of, I didn't want to be seen. Mm. I didn't want to draw attention to myself. I didn't want to, just be seen or heard. Like it felt scary and unnatural and like it was safer to just hide away. Mm. And so that was my biggest experience that I think to with self-hypnosis and reprogramming. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally got to, I would say probably 20, I had a big, just emotional experience where I had chronic anxiety, like couldn't leave the house. I was afraid to leave the house. And that's where I felt like, what is happening? Like my mind is controlling me versus me controlling the mind. And it was pieces where I didn't even recognize myself in the mirror. Like I felt just fully, trigger warning, I guess, like dissociated, because we always just trigger warning is something ingrained in me. But it was just this piece where I didn't even feel like me. I was so disconnected. And so then it was a journey to, okay, let's regain control back over my mind so I can leave the house, so I don't have chronic anxiety and I'm afraid of every single thing outside in the world. And then it was the piece where once I moved through that, even though it was challenging, I was like, oh my gosh, if I can do that, I can do anything. And anyone can move through anything. Like no matter how hard it might feel in that moment, if you decide even the slightest, most little sliver of you, I can move through this. I don't have to live like this. That will just become stronger and stronger and stronger. The more you, it is that action piece. The more you take the action to help yourself. And it starts in here and with the body. And then so I moved through that, this piece of I couldn't even leave my house. I couldn't even leave my bed. And now then I moved to California by myself. I found a deep space. Like just, it's a whole confidence piece, I would say. It was really the biggest reprogramming for myself and my journey.
Where now do you feel like called to your next level of like fullest expression?
So my next level is what I'm realizing is I love also psychology. And so hypnosis is everything. Like marketing is hypnosis. You're always being convinced of something, advertising. It's all subconscious sales. Everything is persuasion and influence. And so I look to be talking in bigger groups at some point, like public speaking, because that's still a fear of mine, right? I started improv actually to help overcome those fears of public speaking. Public speaking, I believe, is the number two, maybe number one fear, because it goes against our conditioning. We're meant to stay small, not be heard. And so it is this piece of, so I'm thinking of going to school again, actually, for psychology for large groups and the workplace and company culture, because I do think a lot of clients I've had, they're very unhappy, and a lot of it is because of their job. And so there's this piece where let's go to the root of the system. If the system is what is making you miserable, let's kind of start from the inside out and change things from that kind of more macro level.
So when you say go back to school, are you saying so you can learn more about culture dynamics and culture?
Yeah. And like, yeah. Okay. And workplace and company culture and things like that, because I do think it plays a large role in how people feel on their day to day, because a lot of people feel like they have to work and do a 9-to-5. And if that's something that kind of rules our life, why don't we kind of go from there and start from within versus putting out little fires of I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, because of your work life situation. So I'm like, let's go more macro level. And also just influencing kind of from that bigger perspective versus the more micro level of one-on-one. But I do love one-on-one, but I'm looking to go bigger.
And so, how did you find deep space? What is deep space? Because that's where you're currently working out of.
Yeah. So they came up on my Instagram when I moved to San Diego 2.5 years ago. And I've been into this work for so long, and it was hypnotic breath work. And I was like, oh my God, I need to go. I've never done breath work in person before. Mm-hmm. And so Lindsay, who is the founder and now my best friend, she was leading the class. And part of the class in between rounds is letting yourself emote. So it's okay if you need to scream, if you need to, you know, cry, if you need to make sounds. Like these are things with using the voice we don't feel safe to do. We don't feel safe to scream. We've been conditioned to not make noise. If you think about babies or toddlers, they're crying in restaurants. They're screaming wherever they want to scream. They don't care who hears them.
Yeah.
And so we've lost that sense of just like feeling and letting it out when we want to, because we're told to be quiet. You're going to be, this is rude. This is not appropriate behavior. And so I'll never forget the moment she came to me. when I was like, she could tell I was struggling and I wasn't screaming. Other people were screaming. And if you've never done it before too, it's like a weird experience. And she was like, you're safe. You're safe. And from that moment, I was like, I have to work here. Like, I just knew it. And then she actually, after that class, then hired me on as a coach. And I was like, are you sure you want to work with me? Like, you're like, I, you know, it was this piece of, and it was this piece of lack of confidence, right? Like imposter syndrome, like you're here and I'm here, even though that's not true, but that was a story in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid to even have her pay me $33, only $33. That's, and I was like, so afraid. And then little did I know, so she hired me for a month. Little did I know she was low key interviewing me without making it known, because it was, she just wanted to see the natural process. And there was one class where I went up to her after. I was like, this piece of also fear, where it's like, I acknowledge my fear and I put it out there so much so, where I'm like, you know, you can reject me all you want. That's the first thing I said. I'm like, Bailey, you have to work on that. Like, that's not the way to start things. But I was like, I want to help spread your mission. Like, this is so important. The shifts that were happening in class, after class, the community that was created. And then I even, in terms of manifestation, I went to the Deep Space website with all the team members and I posted my face on the team member piece of the website and I sent it to her. And I still have it. And it's so funny. So yeah, I manifested it. I think we're manifesting everything, in the sense of, even if you don't resonate with that word, you're consciously creating. Mm-hmm. And you just have to be bold enough to speak up, say, oh, I want this, and go for it.
I almost love the way that you just described it, because I think people are getting a little manifestation ick. Like, people are using it so much.
Yeah.
And so I think that bringing it back to like everything that you've shared today, like, it is the subconscious. It's just forward facing.
Yeah.
Creating the vision. It's like, that is what manifestation is, and getting all parts of you on board with that vision.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to break that down, because I think manifestation are getting overused. Like, I manifested that. And
I even stopped, because I've started to get it.
I do it too, you know? And I just hear it all the time. But then I think it's also getting lost in, like, what does that actually freaking mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think the part of low social media and everything, like, you just hear a lot of things and they start to become your words, but do you really know what that actually means?
Yeah.
And I feel like this entire episode, this entire conversation, is breaking down what that actually means.
Yeah. And I love that you said that too, because I've even strayed away from the word, because I've gotten that. I haven't even heard it been called the manifestation ick, but that's what it is.
I, like, just came up with that. I like
it. It's true.
It's true. And so that's why a lot of times I'll be like, I created this. Like, if you are to take a look at your reality now, even at the fact that you two came together, you worked together, you're creating this podcast now together, you created that. Mm-hmm. But it took steps to get you here. Mm-hmm. And so your life now is always a reflection of what you believe about yourself, because whether you believe...
We do this. We do this and we're happy.
Oh, like, I love that. We do
we
something
tell
called...
everyone before Wait, that.
Like, I that love hit. That. We do something called resonant fingers, which is... it's like spirit fingers. Yeah. But we do the same thing. So I love that.
That's good.
And so that's where it starts, going back to even the logical levels of change, with changing your identity. That's where it starts. Like, I can be this person, even if you don't believe it yet. And that's where the piece of, even consciously, what someone can do if they are feeling really resistant to looking in the mirror and even saying, I'm beautiful, I love myself. Because then they might be like, I don't feel that. And then they stop the work.
Yeah.
Then they stop doing it, because they're like, this isn't for me, it's not working. But it's really, what it is uncomfortable, because your subconscious doesn't believe it yet. So you can start saying, I am the type of person who does this. That creates a lot less resistance. And then you get to a point where you look around, you're like, oh, I did this. I created this life for myself. But maybe it didn't happen like that. Maybe it's not, you know, oh my God, it all happened in a matter of 1 minute after I meditated on this quantum vision.
Yeah.
It's a building. It's that muscle building, compounding.
I love it, because it's empowering. And it's, I think also, when people hear manifestation, like, it feels woo-woo, or it feels like, that happened to me or something. Yeah. Like, it's not grounded.
Yeah.
And I think when you understand that your subconscious is creating your reality, it gives you your power back.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I can feel sorry for myself that I'm not where I want to be, but I can also change and be where I want to be.
Yeah.
And it's like it's inspiring, because you're like, oh, I don't have to be stuck.
Yeah.
So I think so many people get discouraged and in a victim mentality of like life is happening to me instead of I'm creating this as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's so beautiful that you've like broken all that down.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. It's all self-concept to me. Like that's why I love the confidence, because even with using your voice, it's, do you believe you're someone who's safe to be heard? Do you feel safe being perceived by others? How do you think people are going to perceive you? It's all these things of just self-concept and taking the steps to get there.
So good.
Yeah.
As we start to wrap up, I want to know, is there any like final say that you want to share with the listeners?
Always use your imagination. Your imagination is the most powerful tool. And as we, you know, stray away and get older and we, you know, distance ourselves from that childhood version of ourselves, it's so important to remember that, because that's where creation comes from. You can literally change your life with just closing your eyes and using your imagination.
Amen to that.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank you so much for bringing your energy today.
Oh, and thanks for having me.
And expressing yourself all the way through. It's been honestly such a gift.
Thank you.
Love this conversation.
We're so excited.
I want to implement these practices.
I'm literally like, this whole time I was like, I want to do a hypnosis practice with you right now. But because I love it so much.
Anytime.
Yeah.
We'll come back.
Yeah.
Or we'll sign up for a session.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to do it whenever you want.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
Before we go, we want to remind you that you are powerful and deserving of fully expressing who you are. Embracing your journey toward authenticity is a vital part of that process, and we're grateful to be alongside you. If you're looking to dive deeper and connect with others who celebrate their true selves, we invite you to join our community. It's a virtual space for connection and accountability where you can share your experiences and grow together. You can find the link in our show notes. We can't wait to welcome you.
See you on the next one.